Okay, we're going to try to do a quick message here. Hopefully it'll take about 40 minutes or so. And we're going to be in this message 5. Is this thing on? Probably. Yeah, just trust that it is on. Okay. And this is coming to quite a topic. And if you look at the message, it says the church, the man-child, and the first fruit. So if you're like me, especially growing up in the church life, you see these words, man, child, and first fruit, and you may already have a reaction. Like, uh-oh, that's not me. Man, child, I know something about the man, child, something about fighting with Satan and overcomers and first fruits. They get raptured to God, and there's only 144,000 of them. Is that right, Matt? I don't think I'm going to be in that number. I may be 1,441. I may not make it, right? I mean, I had all these thoughts growing up, too, and I heard this fellowship. So, you know, I don't think today is the time to get into all the details of this. Now, there is a time, and I would say, you know, maybe in a small group setting, get into the, I did this with a group of brothers when they were in high school. We got into the book of Revelation, and we read the whole book of Revelation with all the footnotes. And we just did this like 1 week at a time. And we made it through the whole book of Revelation. I got so clear getting into the footnotes. So I cannot take the time to get into all the details of these two points and fully expound, you know, exactly when is this going to occur and why has this happened. I just don't have the time to do that. And if I did, I think you'd go, whew, just right over your head. And be like, what was that about again? I don't know. Okay, so that's not my goal. My goal is to help you see something very, not basic, but very crucial in God's heart, okay, regarding these two things. Because actually, you could say, well, the man-child and the first fruit, it is the aspects of the church, but it's almost like a subset. It's almost like a special aspect of the church. And we'll see that in just a minute here. So this is what I want to say to start off. First thing I want to say is, when you think about these two matters, when we consider these two matters, I don't want you to have the thought in your head already, unattainable. I can't do that. Erase that. Erase it, okay? What I want you to realize is that, you know that wire diagram that Mike put up? And then all the things that were being, that issued out of God's economy and that flow? Well, the maturity of that, the highest goal in this age of that is the man-child and the first fruits. In other words, the man-child and the first fruits is a spontaneous, normal result of that flowing triune God. It's the issue of it. In other words, if we are proper brothers and sisters in the church life, if we are enjoying the Lord in a normal way, okay, then what issues in that is the man-child and the first fruits. So, you know, I know how, you know, we hear this matter overcome and we think we got to do something extra special, overcome. And maybe you even read these and we pray read these things, blood of the Lamb, word of the testimony, love not their soul life. Oh. Yeah. Well, it's not that we're doing something special or extraordinary. It's that we are enjoying the flowing triune God in a normal way. Amen. Without hindrance. And what happens is spontaneously, the Lord in us gets produced in a corporate sense. And what comes out is the man child and the first fruits. In other words, you may not even have to try. It's just by spontaneously being under this transmission of this fourfold power, what gets produced is man-child, first fruits. And we're going to see what all that means here in just a minute. So, this is just the normal maturation of the life of the body. Did you hear what I said? It's the normal maturation of the life of the body. That's what this is, the man-child and the first fruits. The other thing I want to say is this. From the time God created man, he had this in view. He created man in his image and after his likeness, and he told them to have dominion. Actually, these two things fulfill that original desire in God. That's all that happens, is that man finally reaches God's original intention. Now, we are in this society, brothers, sisters, that, you know, we are dictated to us by media, by friends, by society, what is normal. Okay, that is not normal. Actually, all that is just distraction after distraction after distraction from God's eternal purpose. In other words, the enemy is constantly reinventing what is normal or what is cool, what is this, what is that, with the sole purpose of distracting God's people from this. That's what it is. And if we really see things in the right perspective, we realize that's not normal. What's normal is the church, Amen. The body of Christ, Amen. His masterpiece, Amen. Eventually becoming these two aspects, okay? All right, so let's get into this. Let's go ahead and read Roman number 1, and then all the subpoints. And the reason why we're going to do this is because I don't think I have the time to go in and read all the verses. So we'll get an idea of this portion. If you have not read this portion of the word, then I encourage you to do that, but we're not going to take the time to read all of it right now. So we're going to read Roman numeral 1 and then A through J, okay? Okay, let's go. The man-child.
The universal right woman, signifying the totality of God's people, being with child. The great red dragon, Satan, against the woman, giving birth to a man-child, resulting in war in heaven, and Satan being cast out, signifying the stronger part of God's people, consisting of the resurrected overcomers, overcoming the devil Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, by not loving their soul life, being brought forth by the woman to rule all the nations, being caught up.
Okay, so this man-child is brought forth. And this is the vision, right, that John saw, brought forth from this woman. But there's another party. There's this dragon, and he's a red dragon because he is red from the blood of the saints. In other words, he spent his time just devouring, martyring all the believers. Okay, so this is Satan. Who's the woman? Yeah, it's the church. It's the totality of God's people. Not just the ones that are alive, all the ones that have come before. It's the totality of God's people. And this man-child issues forth from the woman. So, a couple things I want to mention here. Number one is, don't think that the woman's a small thing here. We're going to talk about the man-child specifically, because that's really what's being highlighted. But the woman, it's not a small thing to be part of the woman. In other words, it's not a small thing to be in the church. The man-child is the stronger part of God's people that comes out of the woman, okay? But look and see what the woman, what's the woman doing? Is the woman just passive in this situation? In Revelation 1:2, it says that she's clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. We won't get into all those signs, but I want you to see this part. And she was with child, and she cried out. She cried out. Okay, yes, a woman in labor does cry out, but, you know, in this sense, where's the crying out? You know, in recent fellowship among the co-workers and the release of the ministry, there's been some fellowship along these lines to the saints. Where are the prayers for the maturation of the saints? Where's the crying out? Lord, where's the man-child, Lord? Lord, where's the mature ones? Lord, how about make me a mature one, Lord? So the woman corporately, and you know, there's even, and I don't have time to get into the verses, indication that even the dead saints are there praying, offering up prayers from the altar. Yeah. What are they doing? Crying out. Is it time yet, Lord? Where are the saints? Where's the mature ones? Let's end this age. So there's a crying out in the woman and a travailing in birth. What is that? And being in pain to bring forth. In other words, this is a labor. This is a labor. So where's the church? The church is just laboring to bring forth the man-child. So yes, you can be part of the woman. Actually, in order to be part of the man-child, you have to first be part of the woman. So we, as the church, as the body of Christ, we're laboring. We're in pain. We are desirous to bring forth this man-child. In other words, we want all of us to go on to maturity, to reach this maturity. Okay, well, the man-child signifies the stronger part. But I want to say this, because you might think it's going to be like stronger part. We have to be stronger. Well, it's not because they decided they're going to be stronger. It's not because they were the most dominant personalities in the church life. That's not what makes them stronger. What makes them stronger is they grew more. They matured fully. Well, you could say, who's the stronger part of the Chavez household? My 2-year-old or me? Or maybe that's not fair because my 2-year-olds have 2 girls. So the males are the stronger part. And that's the point here. It's a man child. But, you know, I've seen plenty of dads whose sons, when they're born, who's stronger? The dad. But then give the boy 18 years, 20 years, who's the stronger part? Who's the stronger one? Maybe the son, right? Is it because the son decided, I'm going to dominate my dad. I'm stronger willed. No, why? He grew. He was eating. He was drinking. Taking care of his human, you know, capacity, and he grew. Maybe he worked out and exercised. And he became strong. Okay, so this strength of the man-child is not because, oh, Brother Zeke's part of the man-child. He has such a strong personality. If you only knew. If you only knew. Probably some of your moms are more mature and stronger in life than I am. Okay? So it's not a matter of determination. This is a matter of growth in life. And this maturity is a maturity in function, mainly to exercise God's dominion. Okay, so remember in Genesis, he desired man to have dominion over all the things of the earth, especially the creeping things. And now it's not just a small little creeping thing, it's a big creeping thing, the red dragon, a great red dragon. Well, let me just say something here about the dragon. The dragon is there, and he is persecuting. He is there wanting to devour this child once it's born. So here's the church. They're laboring to bring forth the man-child, bring forth the man-child. And Satan is struggling against this because he realizes once this man-child is born, his days are done. This is what God was after. He cannot... It's already been prophesied. It's already been seen, right? This has already been accomplished in eternity. And he knows it. So this man-child, once it's brought forth, he's done. And, you know, let me just say this real quick here. I'm jumping around, but I'm going to come back to the woman. Did you realize that Satan is not just limited to the earth in this age? Did you know that he has some territory, some leeway to be in the heavens as well? Actually, it says he's there accusing us before our God day and night. Satan has some ground up in the heavens. How did that happen? Well, it was through rebellion, but somehow he still has some ground to go before. I mean, read Job. He was there. Yeah. Hey, what about Job? Can we do something with him? I'd like to put him through the ringer. He's doing the same thing with us.
Yeah, he sure is.
And not only that, not only is he saying, hey, what about Zeke? Can I do something with him? But he's also accusing us. Look at Mike. Hey, Lord, look at Mike. What's he do? I mean, he probably doesn't call him Lord. I don't know what he says. But look, he's one of your children. Look what he's doing. He's gone fishing. He's hunting and fishing over there. I mean, somehow the enemy has some ground there. I don't know how it all works, but somehow, okay. But the word, if you read the verses, it says here that the enemy was cast down, right? Once the man-child is born, he's caught up to heaven. And guess what happens to Satan? Cast down. Why do you think he's there waiting, persecuting the woman, making sure she doesn't have this child? And if she does, he wants to devour it right away. Because he realizes if that man-child gets born, I'm done. It's over. Not only am I days numbered, but he's going to cast me down out of heaven. I don't know how that works, but that's what the word says. He gets cast down to the earth. And then when he's down on the earth, he just intensifies out of anger his persecution of the believers. And that's the time of the tribulation. Again, I don't want to get into the weeds here, but this is the picture, okay? But what's he doing today so that the man-child doesn't get brought forth? How is he persecuting? Do you feel persecuted? I bet you some of you don't. I don't always feel persecuted, but he's persecuting. He's warring against the woman. How's this happening? I do believe that some brothers in the maturity of life, they really have a sense of this battle. And I think some of us, maybe we've had a sense, a little taste of this battle here and there, of really warring against Satan. But you know what? I think most of us don't have any clue. Because his way of battling is just to drug us all. His way of warring against the woman is just to sedate the believers. You know, just slowly sedate them. And then there's this one word that really highlights Satan's strategy. And that is indifference. Indifference. He wants to, for the majority of the believers, create this atmosphere of indifference. Do you guys have that feeling sometimes? Indifferent toward the Lord. Indifferent towards your parents. Indifferent towards the Bible. Indifference towards the young people's meeting. I don't know how practical to get here. Indifference towards praying. Indifference towards calling on the Lord. We're just out of it, you know? Indifference. Actually, indifference is the biggest enemy to God's eternal purpose. It's definitely not crying out and travailing in birth and being in pain to bring forth. It's indifferent. It's indifference. So as long as we are indifferent, the dragon continues to devour the saints and continues to buy himself more time. Do you see the strategy of Satan? This is his strategy. Okay, so, where do I go from here? Well, I looked at G, overcoming the devil, Satan, and I was reading some portions of the ministry, and I realized there's a step before G. G, overcoming the devil and Satan, these are like the characteristics of the man-child in his overcoming, okay? In other words, he's already reached maturity. He's the man-child. By the way, man-child gives both indications, coming out of the woman, a child, but a man, maturity. So it's this mature one coming out, issuing out of the woman. So he's already reached maturity. So in a sense, you could say these are the characteristics of a matured believer. They know the blood of the Lamb. The word is their testimony. And they love not their soul life. They don't love their soul life even unto death. But how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, the answer, and this is maybe a partial answer, but I think it's a good one. It's from the ministry. The answer is in Ephesians. The answer is in Ephesians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, how about turn to Ephesians chapter 3 real quick if you have your Bibles. In particular, we're going to look at 3 and we'll start at verse 16. Remember, we said that the man-child, they just grew. So if you want to become a mature believer, you just need to grow. And you need to grow in a very normal way. And in this age, it looks like you're growing faster because everyone else's, the growth is so stinted. But really, it's normal growth. We need to grow. We need to eat. We need to drink. We need to pray. Well, let's be a little bit more specific. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays, and he prays for something very particular in verse 16. What does he say?
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man.
So, first thing, we need to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. We need to be strengthened into our regenerated, mingled spirit. Again and again. And we need to pray for ourselves and we need to pray for one another. Lord, strengthen me with power. Amen. Strengthen us with power, Lord, through your Spirit into the inner man.
Amen.
So this strength does not come again from ourselves. I'm going to do this. I'm going to become part of the man child. Actually, we need to pray. Lord, strengthen me.
Amen.
Strengthen me. And then it continues that Christ may make his home in your hearts. And this is why we're being strengthened. So he can make his home in our hearts. In other words, he's going to mature in us. That you being rooted and grounded in love. And then let's read 18.
May be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are.
So we need to be strengthened that we may be full of strength to what? To apprehend. To apprehend all of Christ.
Amen.
For all these riches to become ours. We need to be strengthened for this.
Amen.
Strengthened to really enjoy the riches of Christ.
Amen.
This is our food. This is our drink. In other words, we need to be strengthened to be right there at the end with an open vessel.
Amen.
To receive all that he's pouring out, right? We need to be strengthened for this. To apprehend with all the saints what the length, the height, and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. That's so sweet. Doesn't say we need to be strengthened to go into battle. That comes, it's an issue. It's an issue of this. We're just going to be strengthened to apprehend all the riches of Christ. Actually, you're going to see that it's not really us. We're not going to be fighting like this. We're going to fight by speaking. Okay,
amen.
Then the second part of this is, okay, so that gives us some idea what we need to do, but let's get a little bit more practical. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, so just 3 chapters over, and let's start with let's read verse 11 first. Okay. Go ahead.
The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil.
Okay, so we have to put on the whole armor of God. But how do we do this? Well, our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. And then it talks about the whole armor of God. But then it speaks about the sword of the Spirit. Okay, so in verse 17, I'm not going to go, because I just don't have the time to go through every aspect of the whole armor of God. But let's get really practical here, and let's go to verse 17 and 18. Go ahead.
And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God.
So there's a whole message on this, and I believe it's message 45 in the life study. of Revelation, and Brother Lee just sticks on this one point. Pray reading. Pray reading. Pray reading. Actually, this matter of pray reading takes care of two things. It takes care of, number one, the nourishing. You want to be strengthened into your inner man. You want to be strengthened to apprehend. You want to be nourished so that you can grow. Pray read the Word of God. And it takes care of the other side, which is the offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. So our battling against Satan is not, like I said, not like this. It's speaking a word. And where do we get that word from? How do we know what to speak to Satan? Unless we've been pray reading. When you're pray reading the Word of God, that word gets in you. And not only does it nourish you, but it also kills certain elements inside of you. That Word of God is living and operative. And it's able to divide soul from spirit. So it's in there, it's nourishing us, but it's also eliminating some things within us. Amen. All that ground that Satan has in us, it's there speaking against it. You may not have any idea that you have that issue, but you get into the Word of God, you begin to pray over the Word of God, all of a sudden that Word of God is just searching you, operative.
That's right.
And it's saying, oh, yeah, this right here. It just shines on that. And that word begins to slay little parts of our being. So actually, this man-child, they're not experiencing anything different when they war against Satan. Actually, they've been warring against Satan all this time as the Word of God has just been slaying the enemy inside of them. So when they get to the heavens to cast him down, what do you think they do? They just speak. I don't know how they're. I don't know what they're going to say. Maybe it's just, Satan, your time is done. Man-child's ready. We're here. Go down there. And then he's. Oh, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be like. But it's just going to be a word. Okay. This is how we defeat him in a very practical sense. So what do we do from here if we want to become the man-child? Well, another prayer. Lord, strengthen me into my inner man. Strengthen me to apprehend all of your riches. And how about let's have a habit of pray reading the Word of God. So I was looking at a True School survey. I don't think I have it up readily, but I was looking at a True School survey from our True School. Let's see if I can find it. That's camera. And I don't remember, I was showing Obi, but I don't remember the exact number. I believe it was something like only about 30% when we asked the question, if you had a regular time to be in the Word, only about 30% of our True School, this is Austin, San Antonio, Round Rock, San Marcos, said yes. 30%. It didn't ask how many of you regularly pray read, but if you're not regularly reading the Word, then I don't know if we're regularly pray reading either. I was a little bothered by that, and the main reason I was bothered by that is because that percentage was pretty close to last year's survey. In other words, me, those of us, Lydia, who are involved with serving the young people, I didn't pay attention to that. We're not helping the saints to pray read the Word, to be in the Word in a regular way. Oh, Lord Jesus. How about this year, this school year? You want to make a little, you know, transaction with the Lord? Lord, what about this school year?
Amen.
How about getting into the Word in a consistent way?
Amen.
How about prayer reading at least one verse a day?
Amen.
I bet if we did that, I include myself, we would be a little different when we come back next year. A little bit more growth.
Amen.
More maturity.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, well, I'll leave you with that. Okay, that's the man child. Again, if you want to get into more specifics, you can get into the life studies. You can get into the footnotes. Get into together with another serving one or a more mature saint, and they can help you get into these matters. Okay, let's go to the first fruits. The first fruits, should we read these verses? How many of you have read the book of Revelation? Maybe half of you? Okay, that's not too bad. Okay, this matter of the first fruits. Let's go ahead and read. It's not too much. Let's read Revelation 14, 1 through 5. Okay?
And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice out of heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harp singers playing on their harps. And they sing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. These are they who have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he may go. These were purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found. They are without blemish.
Amen. Okay, so these verses are where the points, if you turn your page over, you'll see A through K. A through K are just basically little phrases taken from the verses you just read. Okay? So you just read A through K, basically. And these points are just all the characteristics of the first fruits. So let me explain a little bit, because some of you don't have a farming background, and you may have some idea of what a first fruit is, but you're like, first fruit, what does that mean? Well, first fruits are very, it's very simple. It's just a fruit that ripens early.
Yeah.
It's not that, it's not like, you know, anything spectacular, amazing, miraculous. It's just they ripen early. In other words, they reach maturity. Remember, this matter of the first fruits and the matter of the man-child is a matter of maturity. They reach maturity. And I would even say, maybe not even early. If you read the word, they mature on time. The majority of the believers mature late is really what it is. But in farming, we say first fruits are the ones that mature early, right? Okay, so if you have a grain field, let's say a wheat field, and some of the wheat has matured already, do you just leave it there?
No.
You have to collect it. Because let's say this part of the field is receiving more sun, more of the proper nutrients, or whatever it is, and it just happens to mature early. If you just wait for all the rest of the field to mature, what may happen to this first fruit? May get ruined, right? Something could happen. The storm comes or whatever. So you mature, you harvest the grains that are ready. That's what happens with the first fruits. These ones are caught up. In other words, they are raptured. But why are they raptured? Are they raptured because they did something amazing? Well, yeah, in a sense, they did something amazing. They matured. In this dark age, against all the stuff that's bombarding them, the enemy fighting, they matured.
Amen.
They took care of life. So in a sense, you could say, remember, the man-child was the maturity, and mainly in the sense of function for dominion. How do these ones mature? I would say they mature mainly in the matter of love. And in the matter of matching God's heart. They match God's heart. Actually, the first fruits signify the satisfaction of God's people to God. He's so satisfied with these ones. They matured in this age. Oh, what a satisfaction to him. In other words, they fulfilled God's economy.
Amen.
They actually fulfilled it in this age. Before the tribulation, right? Before the intense heat. Okay, so these are the first fruits. What happens to the rest of the harvest? The harvest, when you're farming, is when you actually go out and harvest all of the grain, or at least the majority of it. So you have to wait for that to be ready. Well, picture in Revelation shows us that the first fruits get raptured, get taken up, caught up to God. before the intense heat of the tribulation. The majority of the believers, if you read the book of Revelation and you look at it accurately, actually stay a little longer because they haven't matured yet. So the tribulation, when you read about the tribulation, some of you maybe even be scared inwardly about the tribulation. But think of it like this. It's intense heat for rapid maturation. In other words, you didn't mature in this time. Now, there has to be some intense heat so there could be a harvest. So you have to be left out in the sun a little longer. And then, towards the end of that tribulation, the majority of the saints that are left on the earth are harvested. There's actually one more category, and that's the gleanings. There may be some that still don't mature even in that time. Yeah. Anyway, I can't get into the weeds. I'm sorry. I already went too far. I'm producing questionings. And I'm like, what? Okay. Forget about those. Let's talk about first fruits. But what I wanted to show you is that this is a picture. It's a picture of maturation of life. That's all it is. The first fruits mature on time. Let's say that. Right? The other ones, it takes a little longer. Okay, so a couple things I want to point out here, and I'll end in about 5 minutes or so. These ones ripen early, and each of those points, A through K, are characteristics, and I just want to point out a few of them. Yeah, you can turn to your page and look at that. Number one, I'm going to skip A. B, it's 144,000. I asked the question, I'm sure you have the question, is that a literal number? Yeah. Is it really 144,000? Are you sure? Because I may not fit, I may not make it in that number. Well, these are the ones that are alive at that time, so we don't even know if we'll be alive at that time. Hopefully we will. But the number really has a spiritual significance as well. What is 144? When you think of 144, what do you think of? I'm a math teacher, by the way. 12 times 12. Well, 12 in the Bible signifies completion. Completion in God's plan, especially. This is the number of 12 times 12. Completion and, you know, completion squared. Completion in the sense of God's eternal goal, his plan, his economy has come to fulfillment. It's been finished. In other words, these ones, these 144, they reach the goal of God's eternal economy. And then purchased from earth and purchased from among men. What I want to say here is this. They're not earthly. They're in this world, right? They are on this earth. They are among men, but they are not, that's not where they inwardly are. They've been purchased. In other words, they're not common. Yeah, you might be sitting next to one. You might be one yourself. You're just not common. You realize, that's not what I'm for. All my friends do this. That's not what I do. Because I'm for the Lord. The life in me. I can't do what they do. I'm not earthly. So maybe you're in a situation and all your friends are doing something. And it's not even sinful. It's not even sinful. But you realize, I can't do that. I can't do that. Something in me is different. I love the Lord, and if I do that, I feel like I'm making the Lord unhappy. You see what I'm saying? It's not even a matter of right and wrong, sin and not sin. It's a matter of love. I love my Lord. I want to be satisfying to him. I'm not common. I'm not of this earth. I'm not just among men. These ones are different. And I want to jump down to not defiled with women. Now you might think, well, you know, we're all sisters here. Well, this is in type, right? This signifies our virginity towards the Lord. So what does that mean? It means that we are single for him. It means that we would not allow ourselves to be defiled by common things because we want to be satisfying to the Lord. This is a different mindset, isn't it? Where does this come from? do we have to grit our teeth and say, I'm not going to do that? It won't work. It won't work. So what do we do? How do we get here? What do you think? Any suggestions? Well, I already gave you one. We pray, read the word. That's a good start, okay? That's a good start. What's another one? Excellent. I didn't even think about that, but that's right. As we begin to get into the Word, as we let the Word of God operate in us, it does renew our mind. Amen. And we start to think differently. We start to feel differently. We start to choose differently. That was a great one, by the way, but that wasn't what I was thinking about. Love the Lord. How about along with prayer, reading the Word on a regular basis, how about we just tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love other things, but I love you more, Lord. Lord, you're my first love. Lord, help me love you more. Lord, I want to be part of the first fruits. I want to be satisfying to you. Lord, keep my heart. Keep me loving you. Don't let me go, Lord. These are the prayers of overcomers. These are the prayers of overcomers. Why would anyone maintain their virginity unless they see something, unless they have something that they want to save themselves for? Well, that's the Lord to us. Lord, why won't I do this? And sisters, I'm speaking to myself here, because remember, the enemy, what's he doing? Oh, what about this? What about that? Brother Mike and I were talking last night about our little this and that's, you know? It's just so easy. Our hearts, they're fallen. And the enemy just goes, and we're like, oh, I may try that. I'm going to try that out. And before you know it, oh, I like this. I really like it. Oh, I really, really, really like this. And then what happens to our heart over here towards the Lord? The word is clear. You can't love one, or can't serve one and serve the other. You can't love one. It says, if anyone has love for the world, love for the Father is not in him. That means that part of our heart that is being so attracted to this or that, that does not have the capacity, that part of our heart does not have the capacity to love the Lord. So Satan's constantly dangling things in front of me. And believe me, I know the struggles. I'm always falling for it. Stupid man. And I always think, oh, it's just so I can relax. Or, oh, it's just so I can have a recreation. Oh, and it's just the enemy. Hey, come get this one over here. Distract, distract. And before you know it, I'm indifferent towards this. Right? Okay. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. So it's not a matter of, oh, this is sinful, I'm not going to do it. This is not sinful. It's a matter of, I love the Lord too much to get wrapped up in that. You see the difference? So what are we going to pray going forward? Lord Jesus, I love you. Help me love you more. Okay, we're going to end here. Hopefully you saw a little bit concerning this matter of the first fruits and the man-child.